Welcome back to Plot Pit. William Atkinson here with
John LeMay.
And we have Justina Luther back for round four. This would be her fourth appearance on the show. Yeah. All right. Well, let's begin the descent. Justina, for April Fools, what have you got for us?
I have autocorrecting text message sent to a family member, because what's worse than that? Email sent to the entire company saying you're on vacation for the next 10 years, and DVDs taped to the ceiling.
DVDs taped to the ceiling. Now, this one's going to be fun. Forging fiction from fact and folklore. I imagine these are a little bit more fact than they are folklore.
Or modern folklore, perhaps.
Oh, modern folklore. All right. Well, here we go.
There are two taken from my own life and then one taken from a very random dream that I had.
So dreams can be often a very interesting source of information for sure. And I imagine that's the DVDs taped to the ceiling.
Yes.
Okay. Well, tell us the history behind these three.
Okay. So the autocorrecting text message sent to a family member. I was having a conversation with my niece's husband one day. We were texting back and forth. He'd been helping me with a computer issue. And I had found out that there was also a type of fish that he shared a name with. I didn't realize that. And he sent me a picture of a bunch of fishing lures, and one of them was green. I texted the Incredible Hulk, and my phone autocorrected Hulk to Hunk. So that was embarrassing. So the second one, email sent to the entire company. I'm actually stealing that from my mom. She was a district director for many, many years. And right after she got the promotion, she was sending a message to her boss saying she would be out for a few days. She had dental surgery. However, she clicked the wrong thing and it input a date 10 years in the future. She then clicked another wrong thing and it sent it to the entire company saying she would be out for 10 years.
Okay.
And the DVDs taped to the ceiling, just a silly dream I had.
That's a nice vacation.
Yes, her boss messaged her back, "You have such an understanding boss."
Okay, so John, have you ever sent a text message that was rather embarrassing because of autocorrect at all?
Yeah, sometimes the opposite. I hate it when I'm trying to send a swear word laden text to my grandmother and it autocorrects all the bad words into something less bad. No, I'm just kidding. No, touch phones, touch screens are really bad because when you, especially someone like me, I swipe. I do the swipe function. And one time I swiped into my GIFs by accident, or GIFs, I guess. Yeah, I got into my GIFs by accident and sent one of Chris Farley taking his shirt off to somebody just by accident, you know? So, yeah, so you need to slow it down with your swiping, I guess.
So my...
Swipe or no swiping?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, to swipe or not to swipe? That is the question.
But I did. I've already come up with the concept for a romantic comedy, though, the text one, when we're ready.
Just feeding right off of that, my wife and I were living in Seattle in an apartment many, many years ago, and she had meant to text me, and she ended up texting our apartment manager. And the apartment manager responds as, "I think this was meant for somebody else." So Olga was quite embarrassed for several weeks after that.
Yeah.
Understandably so.
Yeah.
Romantic comedy, John.
Yeah, I mean, Justina, your true story about texting, you were texting the Incredible Hulk and it went to the Incredible Hunk. I definitely see a girl texting a platonic guy friend and maybe he's kind of nerdy or whatever. And he gets that text by accident, the Incredible Hunk. And she doesn't know that. She doesn't notice that it autocorrected Hunk to Hulk. And so I feel like that could get the ball rolling.
Oh, gosh.
On like this romantic relationship. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Especially if he's had a crush on her for a while, but didn't know if she felt the same way or anything like that. Oh, goodness. I already feel bad for this guy.
Yeah.
Totally. All right. So we've got this guy. Let's play off of the nerdy aspect a little bit. Maybe he's a gamer, okay? Sitting at home on a Friday night, right? I don't know, bag of Cheetos and a soda next to him. Pulls out his PlayStation, okay? And he gets this text message from this love interest that he has no idea how she feels. And she's just, you know, platonically sending a text. Now, what would be the instigator for her having sent this text?
Well, it could be something as simple as she saw a meme or something that either had his name in it or she thought the character looked like him or something like that. Something that, you know, any of us would send our friends like, "Oh, hey, this looks like you," or "You do this."
How about the complete misunderstanding scenario where she has this friend and they often share problems with each other, you know, kind of a support network or whatever. They've been friends, I don't know, since like first grade. And there we could go young adults, so maybe high school or even a college age. Okay, so I'm kind of getting the college vibe here.
Yeah, me too.
Actually, you know, like freshman year college. Okay.
Okay.
And they went to different schools. So they're separated. This girl is actually asking for advice from her platonic male friend about a candy that she could buy for this other dude that she has a crush on. Maybe he's a high school or the football captain or something, not from high school, but still. Mm-hmm. And she's at the grocery store and she's in the candy aisle and she sees the Big Hunk candy bar. And so Hunk to Hulk.
Oh, no. See, I think the whole concept, though, was he wants to be called the Hunk.
Yeah.
Right? Instead of the Hulk. So I think that's more the opposite.
Okay. So we, sure. All right.
I think you could, instead of talking about the Incredible Hulk, maybe she could be talking about candy bars and he doesn't know it.
Or it could even be that it's his birthday coming up and she's actually thinking of getting him like a comic book or something. And she texts, would this work for, like, okay, hold on. Let me think. Something along the lines of, for my, like, what if they've always called each other by like superhero names, like it's just their goofy thing, like she's his Scarlet Witch or whatever, like they just go back and forth, it's been their thing ever since they were little because she's a closet nerd herself.
Yeah, but, I feel like that works.
And she's got like the Incredible Hulk comic book in her hand and she messages him, for my very own Incredible Hulk, but it autocorrects to Hunk. So he doesn't think it's just their little inside joke anymore.
Yeah, that's what I think. And I think, too, maybe their little innocent conversation is, what superhero would I be? And she is going to call him the Incredible Hulk because he's nerdy like Bruce Banner.
Yes.
And that's the tie. But it comes across as Hunk and just he doesn't get it.
I like it.
And then his confidence gets boosted and he's like talking to all his buddies like, oh, she called me the Incredible Hulk. I guess she actually does like me. After all these years, I thought she didn't like me. And she doesn't really like him or doesn't know that she likes him. I guess that would have to be the case, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the story arc, right? She's secretly in love with him, but doesn't really realize it yet. Or they were, you know, destined to be together and she hasn't come to accept it or whatever, right? And through this misunderstanding, it's the classic rom-com.
Yeah.
It could also be a matter of she's always liked the fact that he was nerdy, but maybe her parents are a little more snobby or something like that. And her dad's the ex-football coach and all that kind of stuff. And he wants her with the jock. So she's sort of leaned that way because of her parents.
Yeah, the classic wrong side of the track story.
So I keep thinking about superheroes and love interests and playing on it. And I think now I'm going off in a completely different direction. But there's this really interesting, and we might edit this out later, I don't know, it might take us down the wrong rabbit hole, but it just struck me. So there's this really interesting dynamic when you research the theology of soul twins, that there's usually a runner and a chaser. And, you know, obviously you have the one that's pursuing and the one that's trying to get away. And part of it, they think, is that the one that's kind of pulling away from it can't take the connection. It's too much for them. So they do love the other person, but it's just literally that energy pull and the love is too much for them and they can't handle it, so they pull away from them even though that they love them. So I thought, you know, that's kind of an interesting, I feel like you could almost do a whole superhero movie on that, where you've got a superhero who's really fast, the runner, who's in love with a woman who can disappear and turn invisible or something, and she represents the runner,
the ghost,
the superhero who has the ability, yeah, to disappear. I don't know, maybe that should be a whole nother episode, but my mind just went there because we were doing superheroes and love stories. And
well, you can also put that into a psychological aspect, because a lot of times people who had abusive relationships, they don't know how to handle something that's actually healthy.
Yeah.
So she could be.
That's true. And maybe. No, I'm sorry. Just saying, yeah.
She could be pulling away from that because of past experiences.
Yeah. Yeah. Like Will was saying, he's or she usually only gets with maybe the jock aggressive types, and he's so nurturing and different, it freaks her out. So, yeah.
This is interesting.
So we've got the setup. It's this misunderstanding text. We have the backstory of this guy's, you know, swooning over her. She's not returning affection. They're in the friend zone, or at least she thinks they are just friends. He feels like he's locked in the friend zone. He gets this text. Things change on his end. What's the romantic gesture that causes the awkwardness and brings us into act two?
I have an idea. Okay, this could actually bring in the email that I talked about in a way. What if he was trying to set up some sort of secret admirer situation and he has a bunch of emails set to automatically send to her? He was trying to kind of feel it out, trying to see if she would ever be into a guy like him. So then you end up in a situation where he feels like she's actually talking to him, but the emails automatically send before he forgets about them. They automatically send, and now she's talking to him about this secret admirer of hers.
Oh, that's very interesting. Yeah.
And it's him on both sides.
Yeah. And so, okay. And then I was thinking too, when it gets resolved, maybe the button at the ending of the story, since we keep having this comic book theme and we don't really want it to actually be a comic book, I was thinking maybe at the end of the story, he creates a comic book based on their relationship, and that's the runner chaser superhero thing. And maybe that's part of the ending. But yeah, so we got way ahead of ourselves. So yeah, but I guess we need to figure out act three still.
So I don't know how to tie this into the story, but I'm thinking, because they are both nerdy, she's a closet nerd, he's an outright, you know, a nerd, just in general. The gifts that she would give him are DVDs. DVDs of like old classic B-rate cable night movies or, you know, monster films or just whatever. And what he has done is on the ceiling of his, you know, private space, his bedroom or the living room or wherever he watches all the DVDs, what he's done is he's taken all of the DVD covers and he's created the collage on the ceiling using all of the covers and, you know, their tonal qualities and the colors and everything of the DVD covers. And he's created her face like a portrait, you know, like you've seen those posters.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. So all the little tiny images, you know, collected, they make the big image, right?
Yeah.
So that's what he's done. And I think that that could be like the instigating point where she, for whatever reason, it doesn't work out with this jock guy or something. So now she's, you know, needing that support. She comes over to his house. He's not there, but she has a key. She goes in and locks, and that's when she finally notices what's really going on.
So, okay, that happens. And she sees that he's the one who sent all the letters that Justina talked about. He sent all those letters, and then he's got that poster of her face over the bed, and it freaks her out, so she runs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I could
see how... That's what I was thinking.
I could see how that'd be creepy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, if you know about it, very cool. If you don't know about it, terrifying.
Yeah, that first incident's gonna certainly be a freak-out moment, for sure.
Yeah.
Unless she's already been prepared for it.
But... Yeah. I don't know how she could be if she's still thinking him as being in the friend zone.
Yeah.
Because she still doesn't know about the autocorrect, we're assuming, at this point in the story.
Yeah.
Or maybe she just finally caught on to the fact that she did that and thinks back and realizes he's been acting kind of different. And that's why she goes to talk to him, like, and try to sort it out. And then she goes in there and sees, you know, this gigantic version of her face on the ceiling. And she's like, oh, boy.
Okay, and then I think how we tie everything together is she actually does have a real stalker that she doesn't know who it is.
Ooh, yes.
And maybe the stalker has done a few creepy things, right? So I feel like our character, whoever he is, you know, he needs to prove himself. So he's kind of like the nerdy character. So, and we keep going with this parallel of the superheroes kind of under the surface. So I feel like the stalker is like the supervillain representative or stand-in. And maybe towards the end of the story, he actually does put the female character in peril. And it's the nerdy guy that has to step out of his...
Comfort zone?
Comfort zone or tepidness, maybe, like timidity. Maybe he's never been in a fight or something like that. But he finally has to get into some sort of confrontation to come to her rescue and her aid. And then it's like a twofold thing where she learns, oh, he wasn't the stalker and he's, you know, he's actually... helping to save me, and maybe that would resolve everything neatly.
Yeah, and then she through seeing that also realizes that yeah, he's been treating her very well the whole time, but it's not a ploy. It's not love bombing to draw her into all of something bad. He's not like everybody else. He's genuinely the person she's always thought he was.
Yeah, and I mean, we could even surprise the audience and have it not end in a bad way, but they still don't end up getting together. You know, he does save her, and it just more so ends up that she helps him to grow, and neither one of them are bad people, but they don't end up having a romantic relationship. But it just still gives both of them the opportunity to overcome these big life issues, and then they both move on to have successful lives, or they could just get together and be happy. You know, I feel like that's the more predictable ending, and sometimes today people like endings that surprise them. So I'm just throwing that out there as a possibility.
So I actually can see it going both ways too, because if you want to stick to, like, let's say the romantic genre, they would need to end up together because that's just kind of a foredrawn conclusion. It's either the three endings for romance are generally either a heartbreak ending, a happy for now, or happily ever after. Those are the three, where and heartbreak ending is usually someone dies.
Yeah.
So if it is the romance, I would say, you know, happily ever after or happy for now, where they date through college. And then the rest of it is up for the reader to decide later on, like, oh, they were cute for now, I'll say they stayed together, or, you know, they didn't really work, I liked them for the book, but let's say they broke up after college.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can go the other direction, and like you were saying, of maybe he always liked her as a friend, and that's truly what it was, but he overcomplicated in his mind because he truly did need to step out of that comfort zone, and he, somewhere in the back of his mind, always kind of knew she'd be the person to help him do that. And she also genuinely liked him, but it was because she did recognize that he wasn't like what she was normally drawn to, and she needed that healthy influence. So if you want to have it be more of a contemporary story as opposed, like just a straight YA as opposed to a romance, you could also go that direction.
So I'm going to do the tragic ending here and hit this with the old Kenny Rogers Coward of the County song. And all throughout his life, he has been, you know, a coward, yellow, never really wanting to step out to do anything. He was scared of life, all of that. Which is one of the reasons why she wasn't particularly attracted to him, is because there wasn't any confidence, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So to that, the peril that the real stalker puts her in forces him into a situation to overcome his cowardice. The tragic ending here is that in the act of heroism, he dies.
Mm.
Dies in her arms, more specifically.
Okay, yeah, there we go. Or, you know, he just goes charging off of a building 30 stories up and she can't catch him because she's, you know, on the other side of the alley or something, watches the death.
Well, that's traumatic. Although, I mean, that's not that that's a bad ending, but yikes, poor guy. My gosh. Sorry, I'm a little protective of our hero. I felt bad for him from the get-go.
Well, that's a great story right there. Yeah. You've bonded with this individual.
Ooh, and then what she does is she becomes a comic book creator and finally embraces her pop culture nerd side that she was hiding, and she makes him the handsome hero of his own comic book. And he's, you know, and it's called Runner and Chaser. And maybe the idea is when Runner and Chaser finally get together, their superpowers blossom and they become more powerful or something.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. And he becomes an icon along with it, but he had to die. Because that's always the thing, is the really big legends and heroes usually have to die to become a legend, like Billy the Kid and, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe the dead ending does work.
So we've got three really good options for the ending. And all three of them fit the classic tropes of a romance.
Yeah. I feel like one of us should summarize this again for the listener, because we've been going through the weeds. Like, who wants to summarize it and just give us the basic storyline we established?
Justina, why don't you take it?
Okay, let's see it. Let's assume that I actually got all this. Y'all, I'm a pantser, not a plotter. So let's see if I got this. Okay. So we've got guy and girl, best friends from infancy, pretty much. Guy is super nerdy, girl is more of, let's say, traditional cheerleader type. Her parents water with the jock, all this kind of stuff, but is a closet nerd. He loves her all through their childhood. She also secretly loves him, does not say anything. They have their own little inside story with superhero nicknames back and forth, things like that. She has always gifted him DVDs throughout their life of old movies. They go to different colleges. She's trying to look at something to send him for his birthday. She accidentally sends him for My Incredible Hulk as opposed to My Incredible Hulk. And he thinks he's finally out of the friend zone. Things happen. She finally realizes that she has accidentally sent him the wrong thing, goes to talk to him about it, sees her face on his ceiling in all the DVD covers she sent him over the years, kind of freaks out because she has been having a stalker, and she's also been having a secret admirer from emails he's been sending her. So this poor girl doesn't know if she's backwards, forwards, upside down, or sideways. But anyway, things get worse with the stalker. She tells him, because she realizes it's not him. He comes to save her. Through that scuffle, we have a possibility of he dies and she immortalizes him as a superhero when she finally accepts her nerdy side. The two of them end up together, or the two of them date for college and then, you know, hey, we're still good friends. See you in 10 years.
You got it. That's exactly what we discussed, and you streamlined it, and that's it.
Cool.
Act 1, 2, 3 done. Yeah. When can we expect the proof?
That should be a story. That's really good.
Yeah.
That was fun, though. You guys are always fun. What am I saying? Why am I surprised?
Well, we certainly do enjoy what we do here at the table. Okay, so we have Justina Luther on the phone discussing a romance, a rom-com, actually, from a autocorrect mistake from your typical text messaging encounters, a weird taping of DVDs on the ceiling, and an email sent to the whole organization. We didn't use the whole organization here, but maybe that's part of the comic book thing, right? It just goes out to the whole ether.
Good. Yeah.
She immortalizes it.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, Justina, give us your socials for our listeners.
All right, guys. You can find me on TikTok, author Justina Luther, Twitter, Justina Luther. I'm on Facebook. Pretty much you look up Justina Luther on any social media platform, you will find me.
Excellent. And you are the very first recipient of the Plot Pit Attitude Award. Thank you for your positivity and the promotion of such a wonderful environment that you actively pursue on social media. It's incredible.
My pleasure.
Tomorrow, we will be discussing Destiny's Night with author Justina Luther. This will be fun. We get to learn more about other books that she's written, a little bit more about her writing style, and potentially what she has been able to accomplish with Scrivener in the last 24 hours. All right, folks. For now, if you're interested in submissions to the show, either your work or being on the program, send us an email at submissions@plotpit.com. Check us out on Discord. And then we will be pushing content out to YouTube shortly. That is in the works. I promise. I've been teasing it. It's coming. And we will also be starting a Twitch live stream very, very, very soon. Until next time, folks, we'll catch you around.